WDIY is proud to sponsor the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra's Summer Vivaldi Concert this Sunday, June 9th at the Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown, 7:30 p.m. Program highlights include Vivaldi's Concerto in C Minor for Strings, RV-119, Handel's Trio Sonata in F Major, Pergolesi's Flute Concerto in G, Telemann's Paris Quartet No. 2 in A Minor, and Johann Sebastian Bach's Oboe d'Amore Concerto in A, BWV Listing 1055. More information about that concert is at 610-434-7811 or go to pasymphonia.org. I am pleased to welcome in the studio this morning the music director, founder and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra, Dr. Alan Burney. Alan, summer is in the air, and it's time for Valley Vivaldi. Welcome back.
Thank you, Wally.
Yeah. Well, here we are. It's just a smidge rainy today, but by Sunday, it's all going to kind of clear out. Only about a 20% chance of rain on Sunday, so by Sunday night, things will be looking really nice.
That's good.
That'll be a good thing. And schools get out, colleges are graduating, high schools are finishing, people are kind of clicking into the summer mode. And what one of those important things, an important tradition in the Valley for the summertime is Valley Vivaldi. And so we're kicking off a season of four concerts. What do we have? Two in June?
Two in June this year.
Two in June, one in July, one in August. And the first two are at Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown. This was a new venue for you last year, but you've done a number of concerts there.
We've
now.
We've done things since that time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's on, it's across, kind of diagonal catty corner across from the Allentown Public Library. There's parking next to the library across the street in, what is that, 12th or 13th in Hamilton, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big lot.
It is a big lot over there. And the first piece of the first concert to kick off the Valley of Vivaldi is Vivaldi, but it's not an only Vivaldi program. There's other things going on.
Lots of other things.
Although this
year we have one Vivaldi on each concert, which we have done most of the time. Now and then we'll omit having Vivaldi, and then I hear about that.
Yeah, it's kind of cheating. You call it Valley Vivaldi, and then that's like we're playing all this Bach and Telemann. So you got to, sneak a little. You got Corelli going. I think some other Italians going on this time.
Well, this year we're not only doing a Vivaldi on each program, but each one is a new work for us.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, all the Vivaldis we're doing this summer are first timers. Not that it's difficult with over 500 things to choose from.
Yeah, but you'd have to play a lot of that'd be a century. If you played four concerts every summer with a new piece, you could play for 100 years and not play them all.
That's true.
Wow. So that's kind of fun. Vivaldi has sort of a signature style, but then you can change up a little bit. He has some variations and little things.
Yeah, the string concerto in C minor that we're playing on the first program is a rather unusual style for Vivaldi, although his imprint is clearly on it. But it's a little more contrapuntal than some of his things. And it happens to be quite short.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start, and we're going to listen to this, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Vivaldi and his style. You want to say anything else about it?
Well, it's in three movements, even though it's only about 6 minutes or 6.5 minutes long.
Okay. Well, this is an ensemble entitled Modo Antiquo, and this is Vivaldi's Concerto in Strings in C minor, RV listing 119. The three movements, the tempo markings are Allegro, Largo, and Allegro. The music of Vivaldi in anticipation of the Valley Vivaldi concert series right here on WDIY Classics.
Thank you.
that's the music of Antonio Vivaldi for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics, an ensemble entitled Modo Antiquo from a collection called 12 Concerti di Parigi. That piece of music will be featured as the opening cut for a season of Valle Vivaldi this Sunday. It's June 9th at Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown, 7:30 p.m. More information is at their website, pasinfonia.org, or 610-434-7811. We'll be giving tickets away. We have at least a pair of tickets to give away for these concerts, so you want to stay tuned for that. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. In the studio with me is Dr. Alan Burney. He is the music director and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra. Oh, that was nice. That was a brisk pace. Do you conduct at that pace or faster, slower?
I think it's a good tempo.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It's a zippy piece.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it needs to have plenty of zip.
Yeah, I've heard, you're the musician. You tell me. I've heard Baroque music played very slowly. And I suppose there are times and pieces that where that's appropriate. It seems to me that with the instrumentation and so on, like a harpsichord and so on, that it sounds, at least for Vivaldi, it sounds better a little more lively as opposed to slowly. Or is that just depending on the piece of music?
Well, I think a little of both. I there are things that are very slow in Vivaldi that sound quite wonderful that way. There is a trend to playing them in a faster tempo these days, which I think does a lot to make the music and the architecture of the piece hold together.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very short piece, but I love the sense of architecture about it. Everything seems to happen just when it needs to happen.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, that is something that I don't feel in all Vivaldi pieces, and certainly you can lose that if they're too slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I suppose it depends on the piece and what it's trying to say and what the tempo marking is, but it seems to me that with a brisker pace, then everybody's sort of ready and they're coming in and so on, and it does hang together. If it gets too slow, my impression is, as a non-musician, is that you're almost the different musicians sort of waiting to come in. You know, they're kind of waiting. It almost kind of plodding, as opposed to everybody being, you know.
It can be that they can sound a little meandering if and not focused if they're too slow.
Yeah. Good. So Vivaldi, Valle Vivaldi. For our listeners, maybe there are some people who are new to the Valley who maybe aren't familiar with where this concert series originated, what you've been doing. Can you give us just a quick rundown on the history of Valle Vivaldi, the conception of the idea, and what's highlights over the last 25, almost 30 years now? Has it been 30 now?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
We started out, well, the whole concept was we had mostly Mozart in New York. Why not have Valle Vivaldi in the Lehigh Valley? And that was suggested to me, and I thought about it for a small amount of time, and I thought, that's perfect. It's right the kind of thing that we could do and do very well. So we started doing it. We've had the concerts at a lot of different places. I think the first year we went to a different place every concert. One year we did the concerts double, once in the Lehigh Valley and once in the Ecopian Room at the State Theater.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we tried that for a while. And we did many of the concerts at Cedar Crest College for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We've used Octave Hall at the Allen Organ Company for a couple seasons worth there. We've used Wesley Church for the last few years. And the newest venue, of course, is Christ Lutheran Church,
mm-hmm.
which has splendid acoustics for this. And
great central location, too. Really easy to get there from wherever you're coming from.
That's true.
Good. For our listeners, you're tuned to WDIY Classics. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. With me, Dr. Alan Burney. We're talking a little bit about the beginning of the 2013 Valley Vivaldi Concert Series. More information is at their website, pasinfonia.org. That's something that's changed. Back 30 years ago, there was no such thing as a website. But right. that you have, I'll say this, of all of the different kinds of arts organizations that I look up, I'll say the Pennsylvania Symphony has one of the best websites. Easy to navigate. All the information is there. I don't know who does that.
Well, I'll pass that compliment on to the person who does it.
But do. It's yeah. It really is. And yeah. If you're a listener, you should check it out. It's a really good website. All right. So we're going to start off with Vivaldi, but we're not sticking with Vivaldi. We're going to go on to Handel and Pergolesi and Telemann, as well as just a little Bach. I noticed, this must be on purpose, that every one of these ends with Bach. The last piece on all four programs is
a Bach
piece.
That's become a trademark for us. We used to try to do Bach things earlier in the program, but Bach is so overwhelmingly important and significant to the listener that it just seems right to have it as a summational thing, as Bach was a summational figure in the period, the summational figure, really, in a way. And so we do them. I used to, for example, put Bach things, if they had a major harpsichord part, earlier in the program so the harpsichord would be in its best tune. So we tune it immediately before the concert. Mm-hmm. And harpsichords, like harps, tend to waver over time. Especially if it's a hot night or the air conditioning
it's humid,
isn't perfect or anything else like that. We have air conditioned places now, which is very nice.
Yeah. But I didn't think about that. In a larger concert hall it may not vary as much, but when in my head I'm thinking of the Cedar Crest College, and that's a smaller, little more compact little venue, and I would imagine that 2 hours before the concert with the doors closed, it's nice and cool in there. You tune it, and it sounds great. You open the doors, 200 people walk in, the temperature of the room rises 10 degrees.
And the harpsichord goes crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Then the air conditioner kicks on again and cools the room down. And again, the harpsichord is just like, wait a minute. So I would imagine over a couple-hour period.
And the overhead lights are pretty warm, too. We have to have them as high as possible to not damage the instruments.
The instrument,
Not only the harpsichord, but other instruments as well.
Yeah, it bakes.
So it helps
baked.
To have the high lights.
I didn't think about that. It's like a tanning booth there on the stage.
That's
why you always look so nice and tan. I always thought it was because you spend time on the beach, but it's really, it's those stage lights, right?
It's more like mowing grass.
Is that what it is? You look great, Alan. So, all right. So tell me a little bit about the Handel, the Trio Sonata in F.
It's a trio sonata for two violins. Mm-hmm. I didn't specify that, I don't think, here, but I think in the program it's specified.
Mm-hmm.
It's, trio sonatas, every Baroque composer wrote them, so they abound, and it happens to be the one piece that I didn't put a clear identifier, because I'm not sure exactly where it came from.
Okay.
We're still looking for that, but it's a very energetic work, and with some very rich chromatic harmonies in the slower movements. Much fun to play.
All right, Mary Ogletree and
Rebecca
Brown on violins.
Two violinists.
Okay, and then from that we go on to the Pergolesi Flute Concerto in G.
That's a new piece for us.
It's Robin Conney on flute.
Robin Conney is our soloist, and it's a beautiful. I can't call it little because it's almost a 15-minute piece, which is on the long side for Baroque pieces, but almost Bach length. But it's a fun piece, and it's just flute and strings, and continuo.
Okay. Should we try to listen a little bit of this? You want to hear a little of this one, or you want to listen to a different one?
If you want to, then we can do that.
Well let's give it a shot here. Okay. This is the Flute Concerto in G Major by Pergolesi, and On this recording, it's Ashley Solomon on flute, along with, it doesn't say the ensemble here. I'll see if I can track down the ensemble. But we'll listen at least the first movement. Is that a good place to start?
Or first movement?
Second?
Second movement, or last movement.
All right, let's finish it. Then we'll do the last movement here of the Flute Concerto in G Major. Music of Giovanni Battista Pergolesi on a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. Thank you. That's the music of Giovanni Battista Pergolesi, his flute concerto in G major, Ashley Solomon on flute, along with the ensemble Florilegium from a collection of theirs entitled Pergolesi's Stabat Mater. It's 10:30 in the Lehigh Valley. You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD. We're listener-supported community public radio, 88.1 FM in Allentown and Bethlehem. Our translators, 93.9 FM Easton in Phillipsburg, 93.7 FM Fogelsville in Trexlertown. We also stream live on the World Wide Web at WDIY.org. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics, and we're previewing the upcoming Valley Vivaldi concert series. WDIY is proud to sponsor the Pennsylvania Symphonic Orchestra's Summer Valley Vivaldi concert this coming Sunday, June 9th at Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown. The concert begins at 7:30 p.m. Program highlights include Vivaldi's Concerto in C minor for strings, RV-119, Handel's Trio Sonata in F, Pergolesi's Flute Concerto in G, Telemann's Paris Quartet No. 2 in A minor, and Johann Sebastian Bach's Oboe d'Amore Concerto in A. With me in the studio this morning is Dr. Alan Burney, the music director and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra. Well, Alan, we were listening to the Pergolesi, and due to the fact that there is no marking on your program or on my CD, that was not the same flute concerto in G major. Apparently, there is a different one.
There are two.
I didn't
think to mention that before you put it on.
That's okay. But so it was in the spirit, though, of what you'll be
very
hearing.
Very much in the spirit of the other one, the right one that we're actually playing.
Yeah, Robin Connie, a brilliant flautist. You want to get into comparisons. I want to say the premier flautist of the Lehigh Valley, but she probably is. She's very, very good. She has a beautiful, beautiful tone and just a wonderful musician. And so you'll love to hear her on Sunday the 9th. More information, tickets are available at pasymphonia.org, or you can call 610-434-7811. You also have tickets for sale at the door, I assume?
Yes, we do.
And I'll have a pair to give away before we're done here. Before 11 o'clock, we'll give some tickets away for the concert. So Pergolesi, what do you want to say about the Baroque period? Vivaldi, Pergolesi, in Germany, Buxtehude, Corelli, also Bach. Who else was writing? Purcell in England, was that right? Is that same
early
period?
Baroque, huh?
Early Baroque.
Mm-hmm. We've done a few things of Purcell. That is not a great deal to be done with our size ensemble, but there are a few things that we have done.
Part of what defines Baroque is how the music was composed. The other side of it, of course, is the instruments. I mean, that things in that time, they didn't have things like clarinets. Clarinets didn't come till later, or other instruments like that. So
Vivaldi had something that was kind of clarinet-like, that's called a salmo, that you can hear in some of the larger concertos that have a lot of instruments in them. But you're right, it didn't really come on the scene until the classic period.
Pianoforte comes in when? Tell me about the movement from harpsichord to a piano.
Well, the piano has its origins early in the 17th century. But it doesn't become a strong solo instrument until we get well into the 18th century. And
We're at 100 years before that.
Yeah, although we go up through the 18th century as part of the Baroque period. The piano is really transitional for the late Baroque and early Classic period. And it goes through a lot of changes in those times. Amazingly, the piano levels off at where it is now, maybe in the 1870s, something like that.
Now, you are a pianist, you are an organist, and you are a harpsichordist, correct?
Yes.
Now, it seems to me that the organ and the harpsichord have more in common in that they were both happening kind of at the same time. piano is a different touch. I assume all three are a different touch, but is there a similarity between playing the organ and harpsichord?
The similarity is in the music itself, particularly the focus on the Baroque music. And most organists take up the harpsichord in due course, or many of them certainly do. There's not such a carry through between piano and harpsichord, or between piano and organ.
Yeah,
although there are some interesting exceptions to that.
Sure. Okay. Telemann.
Telemann, one of the most broad composers in terms of the range of his output, as well as the number of works. And one of the things that he did a lot of is writing music in the French style, which was what we're playing on this concert. There's the German Telemann, which sounds very, very different than the French Telemann. I actually think that I like him more in the French mode as I do in his native German.
Yeah, is that right?
Mode.
He wrote all these concerti grossi, didn't he? Is that his?
He has so many pieces that they finally have catalog numbers for them. But
yeah, no kidding. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Now, we had talked about the little Pergolesi misfire here, and that both of these are marked flute concerto. Neither one has a number behind it, so it's sort of hard to figure out which one was which. But a lot of these you guys have now found on the internet. You have access to all this music, or actually most of it, not the handle, I think.
Not the handle. Three out of five of the pieces on the concert have identifiers in the title that look like some kind of silly numbers or something that will probably seem strange to people. But if they use those, if they want to look up the piece online, like YouTube, and listen to it further, that'll give them a place that will take them right to that composer. In Telemann, we have a TWV, I have to read it, I can't remember it, TWV 43:a2.
Okay.
Which really seems like we're pulling for something crazy there, but that's one way to go right to that piece.
So if you Googled that thing, and it's the Paris Quartet number 2 in A minor, comma, TWV 43:a2, and you hit enter, that will either take you to
that's
the YouTube
critical
page
thing.
Or whatever.
You wouldn't even have to put all the rest. You could just put Telemann TWV
43:a2.
That identifier would take you right to it.
To YouTube.
In the same way as the Bach Werkverzeichnis, that's the BWV numbers that you see on programs, will take you right to that work.
Yeah. That's why I'm sure I got the Bach piece right today, because I do have that number correct. For our listeners then, to enhance your concertizing experience, if you want to get a little familiar with these pieces, you log on and you can click on them. Probably easy way to do it is go to your Pennsylvania Symphonia website, pasymphonia.org. Then you can cut and paste out of their program listings there for Valley Vivaldi, and you have the pieces right there, and you can look them up online and listen to them. And I like to do that as well. You know, we just heard the promo for the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival coming up this summer, and I always like to either read or watch the play ahead of time, so that kind of the language is kind of ringing in my ear, so that when I go to see Shakespeare, then you know it's easier to access, because it's all in kind of in the front of your mind. And it's same with musically. If you can listen to one of these pieces ahead of time when you come, then to Valley Vivaldi, it's kind of fresh, you know.
Yeah, we of course have the receptions after all the Valley Vivaldi concerts, and one of the questions that I get asked the most is, first the suggestion: why don't you record this piece? It's such a nice piece. Or is there a good recording of this? that I can get a hold of. And sometimes when that's in the middle of a reception, it's hard to be specific about, you know, which recording to be recommended or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there are wonderful things on YouTube besides all the funny stuff that you see all the time and the crazy stuff of cats playing the piano and
right
and all of that. But there are serious, really fine performances of many of the works that we do there. So.
Great. All right. Well, then let's wrap up here. We're going to close the program with Johann Sebastian Bach's Oboe d'Amore, concerto in A major. What do you want to say? On oboe will be?
It'll be Cheryl Bischoff.
Cheryl Bischoff.
Who's our soloist. It's a piece that exists in two flavors, the one for oboe d'amore and also one for the harpsichord, the keyboard. So you hear it a couple different ways.
Okay. And then before we listen to this piece and give the tickets away, why don't you give us a little preview of some of the other concerts? The first one is Sunday, June 9th, 7:30 at Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown. And then what's the rest of the season look like?
Well, the second one is also at Christ Church. It's June 30th. And each one, I guess I said before, has a new to us Vivaldi piece. And the new Vivaldi for that concert is a flute concerto.
Okay.
That we've never done before. We go to Boccherini, which is slightly beyond Baroque, a little sort of transitional into a little bit of classical flavor there, as is Quantz. And the Bach piece on that program is the great Fourth Brandenburg, the one with the big violin solo. In July, the July concert is the 21st. We have, amongst other things, I won't take the time to give you everything, but we have a piece by Biscoli, which is probably the only piece that the guy wrote.
Is that right? That's great.
At least that's the only piece that we can find identified. It's essentially a trumpet concerto, but it has virtuoso, oboe, and bassoon parts in it. And the hypothesis is that he probably had a bunch of students that he wanted to feature in one piece, and somehow or other, a private recital or something. Put them all together. It's a very engaging piece. The Vivaldi new work is a violin concerto. The last concert is August 18th. Both July 21 and August 18th are at Wesley Church in Bethlehem. And on that final concert, we premiere, for us at least, a cello concerto that we haven't done previously. Deborah Davis is the soloist. I've put together a combination of three, I call them oboe sinfonias. They're sinfonias from the cantatas. And Nobuo Kitagawa is our oboe soloist for that. And we have a harpist playing a Wagenseil harp concerto, probably something our listeners haven't heard before.
And who's on harp?
That's Fran Duffy.
Oh, okay.
Who has been playing a lot with us lately and is playing some things with us in next spring.
Okay.
As well.
Oh.
And we close with Bach's great double violin concerto in D minor, which is something we play every 3 or 4 years. Maybe it's even more frequently than that. It's such a great piece.
Okay. Well, we've been visiting with Dr. Alan Burney, the music director and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra, the Valley Vivaldi Concert Series, Sunday, June 9th. It's this Sunday at 7:30, also then Sunday, June 30th, July 21st and August 18th. The first two concerts at Christ Lutheran Church in Allentown, 13th and Hamilton. The final two concerts at Wesley Church, 2540 Center Street in Bethlehem. All right. We have tickets to give away. All right.
Great.
Okay. The number here, 610-694-8100, extension 1 after the music starts, 610-694-8100, extension 1 after the music starts, and we'll get you a pair of tickets to go hear the Summer Vivaldi Concert Series this Sunday, the 9th, 7:30. Alan, Bernie, thanks for stopping by. We'll see you later.
Thank you, Wally.
Come back. We'll talk more about some of these other concerts, okay?
Very good.
All right. Music now from Johann Sebastian Bach. This is the Oboe D'Amore Concerto in A Major, BWV Listing 1055. Thomas Stacey on oboe, and along with I think this is the English Chamber Orchestra, right here on WDIY Classics.